Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Back to Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
So we're back, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, Old School, on this Friday, talking about some games outside of the Big Ten. It's a pretty good slate, and I think that the Colorado-Texas Tech game is going to be very interesting just because of, number one, playing on the road down there in Lubbock, and it gets pretty wild. You know, obviously you've seen, you know, a lot of videos, flying tortillas and all that stuff. And it's ripe for the picking for Texas Tech to pull a huge upset. And obviously I think Coach McGuire is a great coach, and they got some, you know, sneaky good athletes down there. And you remember the days of when they had Michael Crabtree and Patrick Mahomes, teams would come in there and they'd be in a, you know, in a dogfight. Mm-hmm. Where here comes Colorado playing some really consistent football, running the ball, playing really good across the defensive line. Obviously Shedeur Sanders and crew coming off a bye week, probably got a little bit healthy as they need to, a little bit banged up. And so they're trying to maybe inch their way or backdoor their way into the college football playoffs. And so the pressure is solely on Colorado, but they also know they are going down there to Lubbock into a hornet's nest. And I think it's one of the most interesting games of the year because Colorado has, after the Nebraska game, has clawed and scratched their way back, not only to being respectable, they're playing a different brand of football. They're playing a lot better football than they did at the beginning of the year, which, you know, they gotten better, and that's, you know, tip your hat to that. But then also they're at a new place now, right? Mm-hmm. You got to think, after being in TCU last year and then getting ranked and all that, that was kind of like smokescreen fool's gold. They weren't ready, right? Mm-hmm. Off-season hype again. You come up, and, you know, to Lincoln and get mollywopped. And then they, you know, they took their lickings, and now they look like a totally different team. But I'm going to tell you what, man. This Texas Tech team, they got some athletes. I like what Coach McGuire is doing. Very rarely do you think of a Texas Tech team, because I always think of Texas Tech back when I played. I think they have some other, you know, really good quarterbacks, and Cliff Kingsbury, you know, obviously throwing all around. But this team, I think, is different. And it is, I think, of the running attack. And I think, and I want your opinion, Austin, I think he's the second. And this is hard for me to say, because I think Jackson and I really exceeded expectations. You know, I like my man Kyle at Rutgers. Mm-hmm. I think that this Texas Tech running back is easily the second best running back, in college football. Not easily, but I think he's very, very good. He does a lot of things that he doesn't get credit for. Number one, because, you know, you play at Texas Tech. And number two, you haven't been on a national stage. That's why I think he's dangerous, because Colorado hasn't faced a running back like him. Mm-hmm. You know, you get what I'm saying? And, you know, once you get down there and he gets rolling, hey, I'm going to tell you what, Austin. Love, at least when I went, you know, with Taj Brooks, I think he's the real deal. And they got a good passing attack. I just think they could be, was a, you know, a big problem. Colorado, you know, Colorado score, what do you?
Yeah, I'm of a couple minds of this, but I think that I'm high on Texas Tech. They snapped a two-game losing streak in a big way, right? Derailed Iowa State a little bit. Didn't knock the Cyclones completely off track for the Big 12 championship. But that was a welcome back statement by Texas Tech, saying, hey, you guys forgot about us. You kind of wrote us off. And Texas Tech, I don't know just how good they are. They seemed a little bit inconsistent, little up and down, outside of Taj Brooks, right? I mean, last week, he was probably the reason they won it. Kind of a defensive battle that you would think would maybe lean in Iowa State's favor. Tech leans on Taj Brooks. He goes 25 carries, 122 yards, and in a touchdown against Iowa State last week. Right about 5 yards per carry, which is his average. Jay, he's basically having the same season he did last year when he ran for 1,500 yards on just under 300 carries. Right. He's already at the same 10 touchdowns that he matched from last year. Interesting quarterback play. Baron Morton's a guy that's been around college football for a while, hasn't really burst onto the scene. So I don't know if I trust in Texas Tech to continue the momentum from last week, or if that was their big win and they're just going to settle into that six right. or seven win range. I have maybe a higher opinion of what Colorado's ceiling could be because, yeah, Texas Tech has good athletes, but we've seen Colorado's up close and personal. We know what they're like. We know how they move. I trust Shedeur Sanders as a quarterback a little bit more. This is a game I think gets played in the 30s. I think Taj Brooks, 5'10", 230, that's a hard running back to bring down. I think he goes off. I could see Colorado's receivers going off. I think this is a game played in the 30s in Lubbock, and I wouldn't be surprised by really either team winning at this point.
Yeah, and I think I think Colorado's the better team. I think the Texas Tech team plays, above maybe, how they've played all year in their talent level. And, when you look at it, Baylor putting up almost 60 on them. Defense, it seemed like it was optional. I think they got better on defense or played a better game against Iowa State, or was it Iowa State outlier just asleep at the wheel?
Right.
We will see. And that's so the pressure on Colorado is to live up to this ranking in the new respect, legitimate respect, right? Mm-hmm. They become bowl eligible. People are like, hey, actually, they have a good staff and Deion's coaching. That's the pressure on them. Now you got to, and they still are on that thin line. Anytime they mess up, it's double as bad. Where now Texas Tech is facing kind of what Nebraska, at times where Texas Tech was able to beat Iowa State, we were almost, able to beat Ohio State. Are you the same team that you showed last week? That's where the pressure falls on them at home. I think this game is going to be like 35-30. Colorado will win. I think it's going to be somewhat of a shootout. But I think Colorado's defense will adjust. As long as they don't turn the ball over enough, I think it's right up Colorado's alley where they're going to be able to, throw it around the yard. Let's jump around here, Austin. I want to ask you about this. This game's about to kick off here in about 3 hours, or almost about 3 hours. UCLA and Iowa. Obviously, we saw UCLA up close and personal. This is not the same team that started the year. Mm-hmm. They're on a two-game winning streak on the road. They're a lot more physical. They have a lot more swagger. The offense is in rhythm. I don't know if you can say it's just luck or they're on a heater. Look, you go out to Rutgers and play well like they did against Nebraska. Then you go in the bye week where you could potentially lose the rhythm. Come right out of the bye week and you ain't miss a step. So I expect them to provide a little bit more challenge to that cover three, cover four defense of Iowa, as long as they're able to contain this running attack. And Iowa has a little bit of a RPO quarterback now, which you never thought they would have. And actually, McNamara, look, he's consistently hurt, just fell into this dude. The new quarterback for Iowa isn't a very good passer. But he gives you a lot of problems, at least he provides a lot of problems, in my opinion, based on his ability to run off schedule, and I call it up the gut. That's the A and B gap with the quarterback pulldowns.
Yeah, Brendan Sullivan, the Northwestern transfer, insert all the Northwestern stereotypes you want here, transfers within the old Big Ten West here. Jay, Iowa has really put the whooping on some teams in the last month, but they've all been at home. Washington at the start of October, second week of October, 40-16 over Washington. Northwestern, 40-14. Even Wisconsin last week, I was shocked that game got out of hand as far as it did, 42-10. But then when they go on the road, they're a little bit of a different team. No shame in losing at Ohio State. Ohio State's a better team, 35-7. But the Michigan State loss, I just can't get out of my head. Iowa looked so out of sorts, so out of rhythm. And that's a game where I think Iowa in the past could rely on the running game. And as good a season as Caleb Johnson is having, he wasn't the difference maker for them, right? Michigan State had to kick, what, four or five field goals, six field goals, whatever it was, against Iowa. Teams don't usually drive the ball down the field that often, even get into field goal range six times against Iowa. We know Higgins is legit. The edge rush is maybe comparable to years past. Secondary is going to be the secondary. But going on the road, it's a late kick. That's not as bad as an early kick, right? It's probably harder to get up earlier than it is to stay awake a little bit later. I think Iowa's the better team. Yeah, UCLA's playing some better football these last few weeks. Iowa's about a touchdown favorite. I think that makes sense. Right. But given...
Hey, what's up? It's Wilmer Valderrama. You know, a lot of us don't think twice about our tech. Millions of Americans struggle to connect to today's digital world. And that's why this story really hits home for me. I mean, I start thinking about my upbringing and myself growing up in a world where, you know, you needed every possible tool or help you could get to actually allow you and afford you a bigger dream. That's why I love what AT&T's been doing. They're doing something amazing. I mean, they've launched an effort to equip 20,000 students with laptops, backpacks, and school supplies. Seattle, for example, they provided 250 laptops and backpacks to kids who really needed them. Now, you might think like, okay, 250 kids, that's nice, you know, but stop to think for a second, like the impact of what this could do for a community. Imagine, you know, 250 kids getting that kind of help. It's huge. It's not just happening in Seattle, right? AT&T is doing it all over the country. I'm just proud that AT&T is helping connect the next generation to a brighter future, and that's pretty special.
Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What I was shown on the road this year, I wouldn't be shocked to see UCLA at the very least make this a four-quarter game tonight.
Yeah, I think, well, most of their games, you know, UCLA has been really competitive. It hadn't been four quarters, but up until these last few weeks, it generally was 2.5, three, you know, 3.25 quarters. So I think this is a situation where this plays right in the hands for UCLA. Two long road trips. You get to come home. You got some momentum. I'm sure there'll probably be an uptick in the crowd, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit later kickoff. It's a long trip for Iowa.
Yeah.
And Iowa at home, like you said, is, you know, what they did to Wisconsin, I would never think that was going to be happening because of, you know, you got to think Wisconsin can get up to stop the run. They didn't play any defense, which allowed them to really be pinned back, you know, at a disadvantage against that Iowa defense. Now, was that a game that where, you know, in basketball where somebody gets on a heater with threes and next thing you know, you get blown out by 20, but if you play them again, it'll be a one or two possession game. So now Iowa's got to really go out on the road and try to bring that powerful running attack. Now, if you don't, you know, if you have, you know, a short memory, big number 93 from UCLA is not playing any games at all. And you, if UCLA is going to win, it's going to have to be huge games from 93 and 49. They play well, UCLA wins well. Because I guarantee you what UCLA is going to do. They're going to submerge, they're going to surge and submerge that line of scrimmage like they did against Nebraska tenfold and try to be a little bit more disciplined because I think that Iowa will be prepared for it because they saw Nebraska and what happened against Nebraska. And I think they feel very comfortable matching up their corners one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try to make Iowa beat them with the pass. And so if they can do that and get more possessions with that offense and the way that Eric Bieniemy is calling plays and the way they're executing, they could pull an upset out there in LA.
This is going to be a fun game, I think, for you to watch. It strikes me as a middle of the field game, right? You can get Higgins matched up against Matavau, who gave Nebraska a couple problems last week. One of the leading receivers for UCLA, if not the leading receiver. But Jay, the leading receiver for Iowa is Luke Lachey, the tight end, right? I think whichever tight end has a bigger impact, right? Not just catches, not just yards. But UCLA might be able to exploit a hole or two in Iowa's defense with Matavau as that kind of multi-purpose weapon. Saying we know Iowa loves the tight ends and how they used them in the run game to set up the pass game and vice versa. To me, it's going to come down to those kind of inside backers versus tight ends matchups, and I think whichever team wins there has the upper hand.
Yeah, man. You got two prototypical NFL tight ends, man. I mean, both Lachey and Matave last week. I was telling people, look, this dude is for real. I mean, I saw him on the field. I mean, he's not a fake 6'6". He's a 6'6", 250-pound, really, really good athlete that can run, and you got the same thing with Lachey. So it really is going to come down. Look, I know I love Jay Higgins, and 49 from UCLA is really, really athletic. Whoever plays better against the opposing team's tight end from the linebacker position, strong safety, whatever you want to call it, that's going to be the key. How Eric Bieniemy is able to scheme up Matave and some of those guys, even Harden out of the backfield, to maybe get Jay Higgins out of his comfortable spot, which is dead in the middle of that defense, and him just accumulating in tackles at a huge rate. The way that Eric Bieniemy maybe will be able to attack him because he had experience of doing that in the NFL is the way that UCLA wins. Now, what does Iowa need to do? They are going to have to be really, really good in their inside-outside zone, a little bit of power this year, and toss what they use of picking up guys that originally aren't their assignment as far as, you know, in the box, tight ends and fullbacks and offensive linemen. If they do a good job there, they'll actually run the ball pretty easy. and then be able to be on schedule. So it's going to, this is a number of possession game. Iowa's trying to have lower possessions because they want to control the clock, right? Just kind of make a sleepy Friday night game. They're fine with winning 10-3. Mm-hmm. UCLA wants more possessions so they can continue to, well, on this heater offensively, but then also more chances against that Iowa defense like we saw Michigan State do. So it's going to come down to styles make fights as long as turnovers are all equal. One more game real quick before we go to break, Austin. And it's an elimination game of the utmost. Bama, LSU. I'm a big Bama fan, especially when Nick was there, but I'm picking LSU. You want to know why I'm picking LSU?
I need to know.
I think their offense is better and more consistent. Now, look, you got Williams, who is probably the second. He's probably the third best receiver in the nation as a 17-year-old freshman. Milroe is the real deal, but they haven't been consistent, right? But then here comes LSU with everything. They got Will Campbell, the best offensive lineman in the nation. His counterpart on the other side, big number 50, is probably third or fourth best offensive lineman. Nussmeier is good. And then you got Lacy, who's another along the millions and millions of wide receivers for LSU. I like it. I know they can score points, and I like their defense matched up against Bama. And Bama, I think, since Nick has left, the discipline in the game, clock management, situational football has slipped a little bit. I think LSU stays alive, and Bama is officially out of the playoff race because it's an elimination game.
It absolutely is. Both these teams sitting at 6-2 right now. Alabama 3-2 in the SEC. LSU at 3-1. It's weird not being able to trust Alabama. Again, 6-2 is nothing to sneeze at, but you just feel so much less confident in the Alabama brand, the Alabama name right now. Of course, they're going to Death Valley. It's a rivalry game. It was always going to be, well, I'd say a dogfight, but I guess it's elephants against tigers, so maybe an elephant versus tiger fight. But LSU is kind of that wild card. They always have been. Always plenty talented. Brian Kelly is a good coach, but still really trying to prove himself, right? There's still a lot of questions out there about him. You know, can he win the big one? Is he a big game coach? This is the exact kind of game that both of these programs win, right? LSU back against the wall. You're on the outside looking into the playoff. You still want to be a factor in this first one. You still have some of that kind of swag, that style carryover from the Joe Burrow, Jefferson, Chase, Edwards-Helaire championship run. This is the exact kind of game that LSU wants at home. They get it at home and they win it. But this is also the exact kind of game, at least under Nick Saban, that Alabama wins. Everyone doubting that, well, relative to what we normally do for Alabama, a high number of people or more people doubting Alabama. They haven't looked great. They haven't been consistent. You mentioned the discipline, not exactly out the window, but they're kind of winding up to throw it out the window at sometimes it seems. Kalen DeBoer's a good coach, right? He's got an ego to him in a healthy sense. I think he's in a good spot for him, right? He knows what his team's issues are. You know he's been working on it. And this is the exact kind of game that Alabama says, yeah, we made the right move getting this guy. We're still talented. We're still Alabama. Really, the only thing that surprises me is if it's an LSU blowout. I could see Bama taking it to LSU. I could see Bama winning on a late field goal. I could see LSU, you know, driving 75 yards in four plays for a game-winning go-ahead touchdown. I don't see LSU getting up, you know, 2-3 possessions against Alabama and coasting from there. I think I agree with you. I think I'll take LSU at home just because I want to hear the reaction out of Tuscaloosa if Alabama, heaven forbid, goes 9-3 and misses the first playoff.
Yeah, you know, I think Kalen DeBoer is going to be, I think he's a great coach. I think it's going to take some time to get used to that type of pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And as much as I'm still going to LSU, but this is a game, I'm telling you, between James Franklin and Brian Kelly. I don't know. I'm telling you. I don't know which one of them two dudes will let you down. Trust me, especially since Brian Kelly's been at LSU. This is the perfect game where it's teed up for Brian Kelly to beat Bama. Mm-hmm. And they duke you right down their leg.
Just like Penn State did against Ohio State.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, same game.
And then Death Valley is just essentially, you know, quiet as kept. But I think they'll win. I think they'll stay alive. They've been the better team this year. Mm-hmm. You got to think Bama's 6-2, but they should be 5-3. That South Carolina game, man. But also the thing is, Bama's defense, I think, will keep them in the game. Their defense is actually quite as kept starting to kind of catch wind. They got a really, really good defensive line, young defensive backfield. That's where LSU would try to exploit them. But anyways, a lot of good games. man, I'm excited to watch the, you know, Iowa tonight and then obviously this weekend, especially with the Huskers with the bye week. But we're going to take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this bad boy. Old School, we'll be right back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Movement has the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics. Be the good gifter this year. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com and enjoy fast and free shipping. That's MVMT.com.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.